The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
What do you think Romans 13 means? Those first several verses, let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. And it goes on with several other mandates contained therein. But what does it actually mean, and could it be abused? Well, in a recent column at the Washington Times, an opinion piece titled, No, Romans 13 does not say Americans must submit to Biden. My guest this hour addresses the issue, and he joins us now to talk about it. Dr. Everett Piper, columnist for the Washington Times, also a former university president, radio host, author of those books that we've talked about, Not a Daycare, The Devastating Consequences of Abandoning Truth, and more recently, Grow Up, Life Isn't Safe, But It's Good. We'll give you his website and so forth in a moment. But Dr. Everett Piper, always an honor to welcome you to the show.
Oh, the honor's mine. Thanks for having me back.
Well, this kind of thing is very interesting on several levels. Even if one is not, quote-unquote, a religious person, that has one aspect. But for those of us who take Scripture seriously, it's doubly important. So you take issue. Well, let me first ask, where did this concern come from on your part that this Scripture is being misapplied to the current president or anybody else?
Well, as you know, I say in my column that the Bible verse that seems to be more popular both within the church and in the secular world right now, even more than John 3:16, or the left's favorite verse, judge not lest he be judged, the verse that seems to be more ubiquitously quoted today is Romans 13, and that we are to obey the government. And if you Christians really believe your Bible, then why aren't you doing so? And unfortunately, it's not just the secular world that's drubbing us over the head with that. It's a lot of people within the evangelical church, a lot of our leadership, our, mega pastors out there are suggesting that we're in violation of this particular passage. And, I actually cite a Gospel Coalition piece that made that argument. And my response is, okay, yes, I am a conservative Christian. I'm a Bible-believing Christian. I am an inerrantist. I believe the Bible is inerrant, and I want to obey it. So what does that verse mean? Well, what it says is we're supposed to obey the government that God has put over us. So don't you think we ought to define the government? Shouldn't we care about what the definition of the government is that God has placed over us? And the key question is the government of the United States different than the government of the United Kingdom? Is the government of America different than first century Rome? And the answer is, of course it is. And you know what my argument is.
Mm-hmm.
The government in the United States is what? We the people. And I cite president after president, founding father after founding father that says we the people is the definition of government in the United States. So when it comes time to obeying Romans 13 for the biblical Christian, I think it's critical that we define our terms and understand the definition of the words, and the key word here is government.
Well said and well written, folks. You want to read this. We don't have time to go through it word for word. It would be worth it. But for sake of time, get a copy of it or go to WashingtonTimes.com and read it for yourselves. But Dr. Piper, as you're talking, I'm reminded, well, if we want to carry this to its ludicrous extreme, then a Christian in China who is told to stop praying and to stop going to church and, in fact, to stop being a Christian at all is being ordered by his government to do that. So if that is a fair contrast or comparison, then it seems like he's in disobedience if he doesn't do what the government's told him to.
Well, and of course, those on the progressive side of this discussion, or at least on the obedience side of this discussion, would say, yeah, but that's a mandate from the government to actually violate your faith. But there's nothing in the mandate to wear a mask that violates your faith. There's nothing in the mandate to get vaccinated that requires you to disavow Jesus Christ. And that's true. That's true. But again, the government, Romans 13 says we are to obey the government. And in the United States, Washington, D.C. is not the government. Nancy Pelosi is not the government. Donald Trump isn't the government. Joe Biden isn't the government. In the United States, it's defined for us quite well, thank you. It's we, the people. And it's the government, if you will, or it's Washington, D.C., I should more rightly say, that's in violation of our constitutional definition of government. Not you, not me. We're the ones that are in compliance with it. So if you want to comply with Romans 13, then I would argue we're the ones in good standing right now rather than those who are bowing the knee to this oligarchical rule that's being declared from on high.
And that is, in fact, folks, a distinction with a profound difference in my view because, am I right, Dr. Piper, we are the only nation on the earth that has ever had this kind of self-governance and the freedom to do so by that very phrase, government by and for the people.
Yes, we're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And it's not just Abraham Lincoln that said that. Teddy Roosevelt said that. And our founding fathers set the context for that. So again, I'll repeat what you just said and what Abraham Lincoln said and what Teddy Roosevelt said. And we are a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. It doesn't say of Washington, D.C. It doesn't say of Oklahoma City in my context here in Oklahoma. It doesn't say that you're a government of San Francisco or Los Angeles or New York City. It's a government of the people. And if Washington, D.C. is in violation of the people, they're the ones who are ignoring Scripture, not the church.
Well, you quote a great great source, Bill Federer. I haven't talked to Bill for years, but a great researcher. He's written the book called Who is the King in America? And you draw from that to cite any number of quotes. Walk us through some of the notables that he quotes in this regard and what he has to say about what they have to say about this very issue.
Well, and yes, I owe credit to Bill Federer because everything in my column, as you know, and I cite him there, he's done the research. He did the homework for us. So all you have to do is pick up this thin little book, Who's the King in America, and it answers the question. The king in America is you. It's me. It's the people. And it's from Grover Cleveland to Abraham Lincoln to Thomas Jefferson to Gouverneur Morris to John Adams to the list goes on and on and on. Even Democrat presidents are cited in there. Franklin Delano Roosevelt. There are people in the old guard Democrat Party that understood this and that government has to be covenantal. Government is from the bottom up. That's the difference between covenantal government and hierarchical government. All other nations have hierarchies of government. It's the top down, the elites telling you how to live your life. In the United States, it's covenantal. It's bottom up. It's a relationship of the people, by the people, and for the people. And the hierarchy never has the authority in our constitutional republic to violate that principle.
How do you explain then, and I think I may know the answer already when I ask it, but how do you explain this willingness to go soft on this issue on the part of some of our fellow Christian leaders?
I think it's softness on Scripture. I really do. I think we've set aside the highest view of Scripture, and we don't believe it any longer, and we don't intend to obey it. We allow politicians to be our exegetes, to exegete Scripture for us, rather than trusting the age-old traditions and truths of the church in terms of defining what the Bible means and we need to elevate Scripture to its highest status again, inerrancy. The Bible is inerrant. It's inerrant, it's infallible, it's authoritative, it's true. And if the evangelical church doesn't believe that any longer, which I sometimes question when you look at Barna's polls, I think we're lost.
What is your assessment just now, a couple of days after the remarkable events of Virginia, wish it were California, Virginia and a couple of other places where there seem to be winds of change that are more than passing, but what kind of hope does this give you that maybe a new wind is blowing as the American people are starting to say, enough already?
You're absolutely right. You know, I think of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, which is a sobering story. And people might think, where are you going with this one? Well, there's a silver lining there. It's a story of severe judgment, no question. It's a story of hellfire and brimstone being rained from on high down on this very evil and sinful land. But what is the narrative between Abraham and God? If you can, he basically pleads, negotiates with God. If I can find 50 righteous men, will you spare the city? Well, yeah, I will. Well, Abraham's thinking, well, I don't think I really can find 50. So he says, how about 30? How about 25? How about 20? And then we all know that at the end, Abraham says, well, how about if I only find 10 righteous men in Sodom? Will you spare the city? And God says, yes. So maybe we just saw evidence in Virginia and elsewhere across the country that America still has 10 righteous men, and maybe God will withhold his hand of judgment.
That's a good word on which to finish. Thank you. Dr. Piper, always great to talk with you. I'm going to encourage folks to really take this column and print it out for themselves because, as you say, with what you've written and what Bill Federer has provided for research, it's an excellent piece on who really is running this country, who is king, if you will. And it certainly is not who's in the White House at any time, Joe Biden or anybody else. Thank you very much.
Blessing. Thank you.
Again, that is Dr. Everett Piper. He is a scholar, a former university president. He is a columnist, regular columnist at the Washington Times. And you can find this one. Let's see. This was Saturday, October 16th, Washington Times. No. Romans 13 does not say Americans must submit to Biden. We are the government. We are the sovereign. We are the authorities. So some good words there for you to consider.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.